Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word peace. It's such a word that is often coveted by so many of us and has been coveted all around the world. When you think of peace, so many things come into your mind. You might think of rest, of peace and quiet. Wish I had that last night when my son woke me up at 3 a.m., but let's not even go into that. There might be the peace that is sought after a war, a long war, and peace is over the world. And it seems that wars are far over and gone with. You might be hearing things about peace in our time. Maybe not that one. If I have learned anything from Marvel movies, that's not usually a good thing to say. Usually something bad happens after someone says that. But peace, the idea of peace, is so vital to humanity. Poems have been written about it. Scholars have debated the meaning of it. Peace is so important for our lives. It gives us comfort. It gives us security. It gives us time to breathe. And I don't know about you, but there's one thing that I have craved this past year. It's peace. Because with peace comes knowledge. Knowledge of the things that are going to happen. Knowledge of what is going to happen so that you are comfortable with it and know the outcome. Peace has provided much security for us. And for many people now, that peace is like the light at the end of the tunnel, getting ever closer each and every day. But for some, that peace is far off. And every day that trudges on, that peace gets farther and farther away. Peace becomes more than a flight of fancy, a dream that grows ever more distant the more we think about it and the less we have it. Peace is often strived for, it is often hoped for, but it's very seldom fully conceived. Peace is hard. We join our disciples, the disciples of Christ at this time. In our gospel lesson, it is immediately that same Sunday, a glorious Easter resurrection Sunday, where peace was proclaimed to the entire world, and yet for these 10 disciples, even 11, there is no peace. There is only terror. Terror and fear and unknown. Of anxiety and worry. They're huddled together in a house. Thomas isn't even with them. Who knows where Thomas went? But the 10 disciples are huddled in this house, trying to make sense of what's happened. Peter and John have come back and told them that they have not seen, that the body of the Lord is gone. And now that he fills them with even more worry. They can't even understand what's going on. In their hearts, there is nothing but anxiety, anxiousness, and things that are going to go wrong. And suddenly there's 11. Jesus appears on the scene, much as he's done throughout Mark, coming in and bringing words to his people. The disciples look at Jesus, and you can only imagine what's in their hearts. They recognize that, yes, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. My goodness. Last time they were with him, they betrayed him. They ran away. Scattered, left him for dead. That anxiousness gets ratcheted up a bit. That fear becomes tangible. What is he going to do? Is he going to condemn us? Would only be right. We abandoned our Lord. We abandoned God's Son to death. What's going to happen to us? Is he going to call down God's wrath upon us? Is he going to drive us away? Will he forsake us as we forsake him? All the questions in the disciples' mind running 1,000 miles a minute. And Jesus speaks. His first words as the resurrected Lord to his disciples. Those who followed him closely for 3 years, who have known him, who ate with him, who were his family, his brothers, and his loved ones. He speaks 4 words. Peace be with you. Peace. 4 words. Everything changes. The Lord comes, not with condemnation, but with peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that calms the anxious heart, that soothes the broken soul, that binds up the brokenhearted. It is a peace that was won in Christ's glorious resurrection, a peace that is sustained by his glorious ascension into heaven. That will come later with the disciples. But for us, he even says, peace be with you. As if he's reaching out from the Bible and saying to us, peace be with you. And it goes even farther. His disciples were all astonishment and wonder, and he invites them. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Put your hands where the nail holes were. Thrust your hand into my side. I am here, and I bring peace. A peace that passes all understanding. And there's more. With this peace, there is a command. Once again, our Lord speaks to the disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. And he breathes on them, gives them the Holy Spirit. Not only peace, but a command to go forth in that peace, to go forth and forgive people their sins, just as God has forgiven us of our sins. A wonderful thing. Where once there was anxiousness, or once there was this feeling of sorrow, there's happiness. There's peace. Knowing that our Father in heaven has raised his Son from the dead and he will never die again. It's wonderful. And immediately you can see the contrast. Thomas comes in. The disciples are all astonished. They go to him. We've seen the Lord. They're happy. And you see the difference. Thomas did not have that peace. He is still living in that darkness. He is still living in a world that is unknown. And he says to them, whether I see his, if I only see his hands when I thrust my hand into his side, I tell you, I will never believe. Can blame him. I know I can't. Thomas is scared still. The other disciples have the peace that passes understanding. Thomas is there in the darkness, scared still. It has not come to pass for him. But the next week comes. Once again, the disciples are huddled together in that room. The connotation of that, they're still fearing the Jews, what they're going to do. And once again, Christ comes. Thomas is with them this time. He says those exact 4 same words, peace be with you. He turns to Thomas and he does exactly the same thing as he did for all of the other disciples. Thomas was no different. Come, look at my hands. Come, place your hand in my side. See and believe. At this, Thomas does see and believe. He gets that same peace that the disciples had. He says, my Lord and my God, for the peace that passes all understanding has now come to him. But once again, Jesus reaches out through the pages of the Bible and talks directly to you and to me. And he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And then John finishes with, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It is our peace as well. That peace that passes all understanding, for we have the advocate, Jesus Christ, advocating for us on behalf of his love for us. A wonderful feeling of peace should surround all of us. but it doesn't. Yes, sometimes it does. But often we were wondering, how can I know where that peace is? The peace that brings me joy. A peace that brings me calmness. A peace that soothes all my fears. Why can't I feel it? There's so much of a desperate want to feel that peace of God. To feel it deep in our bones. To know it and to have it and to cling to it. We want to know, what is that feeling? What does it feel like to actually have peace with God? A peace in ourselves that does not worry about the things of this world. That does not worry about everything going on. Pandemics, financial situations, anything. Where is that peace? And very often we can't feel it. And so we think that maybe this peace, if we're not feeling it, we're doing something wrong. If we can't feel this peace with God, maybe it's us who are wrong. Maybe we're not doing something correct to get this peace. And so we look into ourselves. Okay, what can we do to get this peace? What can I do to help myself? What can I do to get this peace? And if we look into ourselves to find this peace, we'll find it that it's sorely lacking. Time and time again, even the authors of the Psalms will say that that's impossible. King David even wrote in Psalm 13, he's crying out for God, for he is anxious and worried and needs the peace that passes all understanding. And he says to God, I have looked into my own heart, and I find only sorrow. That's what happened. When we try to look for our own peace, when we try to have and control the peace that passes understanding, to have that feeling of wanting to know exactly what it is, and if we don't have that specific feeling, we don't think we have the peace, and then we can become worried and anxious, and suddenly we are like those disciples, huddled in fear, and not going out and doing the command. Go and forgive others as I have forgiven you. This is difficult. It's hard. But the peace of Christ passes all understanding. What this means is something that we can say on a church service. It's something that we have probably said throughout our entire lives, but passes all understanding. This means that Christ's peace does not depend on you or from me. Christ's peace depends on one thing and one thing alone, Christ himself. Christ himself is the bringer of the peace, but he's also the source of that peace. Yes, that peace might not fill us with a good feeling at every second of every day or a sense of calm at every second of every day, but make no mistake, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you have that peace. Because it does not rely on your feeling. It does not rely on you doing anything for that peace. It does not rely on you doing anything at all, actually. That peace that you have comes from God. And that means that it's everlasting. It is the peace that God brings, sustained by Jesus Christ himself. Because he can do it, for he is God, the source of all life. He brings that peace each and every day. There is a peace that we have that we remember that our Savior has indeed died and suffered for us and has been raised for us. It is a peace that though we know it, we have it. And though we might not understand it, it understands us. For it passes all understanding. What this means also is that this peace that passes all understanding passes even what we can conceive. It is the same peace that you have from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a peace that brings calm, a peace that says you are forgiven of all of your sins. It is a peace that says no matter what happens in this life, I am with you forever. As I command you to go and to forgive others their sins, just as I have forgiven you, I am there with you always to the very end of the age. It is a peace that passes all understanding. For it is the same peace that we have yesterday. It is the same peace that we have today. It is the same peace that we will have into eternity. That we will know fully when Christ comes again in his full glory and comes down from heaven just as he went up and proclaims that the victory is here, the war is done. And he will say those words, "Peace be with you." It's hard. I know. I've had my fair share of wanting to know where God's peace was in all of this. Still do. This very day, even before I came right here and preached to you this message. It's hard. But we have the peace. It is a peace that is not sustained by us, but by our Father in heaven. It is the peace that God knows we struggle, so he's given that same peace in his body, in his blood, and in the water, and the word, that he is there with us in all circumstances, and of giving us a peace that passes all understanding. It is a peace to the troubled. He gives peace to us. He gives strength to the weak, and gives hope to those who walk in the newness of life. This, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is our peace that passes all understanding, and may it guide your hearts and your minds forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.